Let's go to Job chapter 2 tonight. Find that in your Bible passage there, and Job chapter 2. And Brother Mick is singing for us tonight, and then we'll be ready to go.
I don't know rightly today, don't know if I'd have my family. There's just no telling who I would be if not for grace. I could be locked up in jail, have no future, no story to tell. I know my soul would be crying from hell if not for grace. If not for grace, I would still be lost and hopeless. If not for grace, there'd be no reason to carry on. But when mercy on his face, I would not be saved today if not for grace. Sin I'd carried for so long, things in my past I had done so wrong. God's forgiveness I would have never known if not for grace. There'd be no hope of heaven above. I wouldn't know the words for God so loved. I know my life would be unheard of if not for grace. If not for grace, I would still be lost and hopeless. If not for grace, there'd be no reason to carry on. But when he looked my way, there was mercy on his face. I would not be saved today if not for grace. But when he looked my way, there was mercy on his face. I would not be saved today if not for
wonderful song. Thank you, Brother Mick, for singing that tonight for us. All right, I'm going to do something tonight that this is the third time that I can remember, and that may not be saying a whole lot. This is the third time that I can remember in 24-plus years that I'm going to do what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to shoot from the hip tonight. We'll just talk for a little bit about some things that are on my mind, on my heart a little bit. I have a fully developed three-page notes outline in there and notes to continue on in the series that I've been on, and we will get to that next week. I'm just going to speak with you a little bit tonight from my heart in this passage in Job chapter 2. And this does not all center around things going on in our lives right now, although there seems to be a little bit much, but this is just an accumulation of things that I've thought. Because it's just been a lot going on in a lot of people's lives, and so let's talk a little bit tonight about hopefully something will help and bless you and be an encouragement. Father, bless the thoughts now. Thank you for your word, and I pray that you'll help me, Lord. I pray that you will. I can sit in the car and ponder and think, Lord, and thoughts just come by the bucket loads. And they get up in front of people. Sometimes it's a little, you get locked up a little bit. But I pray that you'll help those thoughts that you put on my heart. Lord, I believe I'm following your leadership. This is not normal. But I believe you want me to say these things tonight. So I'll depend on you to give me the exact things that need to be said from what I thought about, meditated on, that I believe you put in my heart. So help me tonight. Thank you for our church. Thank you for these people, their kindness. I pray that you bless, Lord, people around the world in this part of the country that we live in and our church family and those in distant places who are going through a difficult phase right now. Pray that you'd encourage them and bless tonight in Jesus' name. And amen. Well, I guess what got this on my mind was just there's a preponderance of, if you've noticed, the last 2 weeks on the prayer list, Brother Bragg got into the physical needs. We have more names circled right now on the physical needs part of our prayer list than we've had in a long time. And those, although everybody on that list, and by the way, the preacher of the week is Tom McMurtry, and he called me. That letter went out. Every preacher that's on our prayer list gets a letter the week that they're on the prayer list. I just try to encourage them, tell them that, you know, they're probably going to be prayed for by some of the folks in our church because they're on the prayer list. And he called to say, that letter went out Monday. He got it today. And he called this afternoon to say thank you for remembering him. And he has told me probably no less than four times that last year was the most difficult year in his ministry. He's been there at that church, I think, 26 years. And last year was the most difficult year for their church. So when that pastor's name is on there at the bottom of the paper there, it's not just a filler, okay? That's not just filling space. God, I think, you'd be amazed, folks, at the letters I get. I am convinced that God preordains that man's name on that list for that week. And he just wanted me to express his appreciation. And you look at that prayer list and all those names that are highlighted. Everybody on the physical needs list is there for a purpose and a reason. They need prayer. The ones that Brother Bragg brings to our attention are the ones that kind of are current, just really need you to pray for them. And there's been more of those surgeries, sicknesses, ongoing things, you know, with Brother Scott. Brother Scott has a great attitude. He's in tough shape. I just hope he, I don't know, you know, he's got to have a heart. And nothing else is going to work right now. So, Charity Jertberg, of course, having to come home. She starts her chemotherapy. I think the email that we got today, she starts a chemotherapy by, IV. I think it is tomorrow, maybe Friday. So she's going through that. You know, and I have to ponder this Madagascar thing. You know, the two missionaries that are the most settled and probably the most stable, and they got things, you know, things have really started to move over there in the way of God working, and they've got a good core of young men that are really excited about the ministry. They're excited about the Bible. They're plugged in, and it's very strange to me that both wives would have difficulty at the very same time. And that's very strange to me. I don't think things happen by coincidence, you know. And now you've got, you know, the two most settled, as far as Baptist missionaries go, the two most settled missionaries, that one's already in the States, and probably the other one is going to either be very limited now or maybe gone himself for another 6 or 8 weeks. And it's just strange. It's just strange. You know, the devil is not going to sit idly by and watch God's work advance without trying to throw a kink in the plan somewhere. And so it's very strange. And then other things have happened, just odd things. You know, visiting with one of our men yesterday, the company he works for just has really done some reorganization, and just really it has treated the employees very unfairly. You know, you've heard me say from the pulpit over the years, you know, that strong union, the strong labor union, I think has hurt this country to a point. But no labor unions hurt the workers some years ago. And they didn't have a labor union. And the company reorganized. And it's just this really, the man in our church had good attitude about it, good spirit about it. But it's just a whoosh. And so I'm looking at all these things and thinking about all these things and pondering all these things. And it just seemed like negative, 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 negative. Negative, negative. People are sick. And I thought to myself, wow. I was reminded of Job chapter 2. You get to this part of the story now. Chapter 1's already taken place, which means he's already lost his oxen, his camels, his donkeys, his sheep, his 10 kids. Already lost all that. And then in chapter 2, he loses his health. Okay? Gets those boils, his own health. And you know what? When you got things going on that affect you emotionally, but you're in good health. You still got a residue of strength to help you get through what you're, you know, for other people. But when you get sick yourself, then you get down, it gets worse. And so here's Job. Now, he's lost all those possessions and people in chapter 1. And then he loses his own health in chapter 2. And you know that, you know, he's hurting from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. His sleep is probably very limited. You know, he's just not feeling well. And so his wife comes at verse number 9. And again, I've been in her corner before, and I'll continue to be in her corner. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." I think she felt so badly for her husband. You know, we've had a good time making fun of Job's wife over the years, you know. Well, you know, and maybe that's how it came across. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. But she knew that if he cursed God, God possibly would kill him, and that would be better for him than having to go through what he was going through. Get out of this mess. And so, but maybe not. Maybe it wasn't that way. But that's almost how I take it from her. And then he says to her in verse number 10, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." What? And this is what he asked here. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? That is a great question. And when you, I think it's more than just a great question. I think it's really what Job is thinking. It's what he's pondering. It's what's on his mind. It's what's on his heart. Because all of this, and I think when you look at the context of what is going on in Job's life, when he uses the word evil here, he's not talking about sin. He's not talking about evil the way that you and I would use the word evil, like in some sinful nature. When he uses the word evil here, in the context of what's happening in his life, he's talking about all these negative things. He's lost his donkeys, he's lost his camels, lost his sheep, lost his cattle. That's his livelihood. Okay? That's his job. It's not just a petting zoo. Okay? This is his job. So his vocation, his possessions, his job, his income, his possessions just gone. And then the 10 children, and then his own health. The evil he's talking about in that verse is not sin. The evil he's talking about is all these setbacks. These horrible setbacks. Loss of possession. Loss of vocation. Loss of children. Loss of personal health. So all these things going on here that are working against him, if you would. And that's what the word evil, that's how he's using the word evil. And by the way, I think it's very interesting that he is specific that that they received good at the hand of God. And then he just says, "Shall we not receive evil?" The truth of the matter is, the evil that Job experienced did not come from the hand of God. The evil that Job experienced came from the hand of Satan. With God's permission. But God didn't touch Job. God didn't touch his sheep. God didn't touch his camels. God didn't touch his oxen. God didn't touch his donkeys. God didn't touch his children. God didn't touch him with boils. Satan did. Satan did all that. With God's allowance. We understand that. Nothing happens without God's permission. We know that. So it comes from the hand of Satan, not the hand of God in this case. Now, does God once in a while touch us? Well, Jeremiah 18 seems to indicate that he does. He puts the potter has his hands on the clay, and he finds a flaw in the clay, and God, and the potter representing the Father, he mashes it, takes that flaw out, that piece of grit out of there for the good of the clay, the vessel. I guess God does sometimes touch us with his hand where it hurts. But in this case, it wasn't God's hand. It was Satan's hand. And it came with God's permission, and it came with his allowance. And when you look at that question that Job asked here, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? The obvious answer to that question, which is what do you call one of those rhetorical questions? He didn't expect an answer to it. Because an obvious answer. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Well, the obvious question, the answer to that is no. And how do we know that? How do we know that the answer to that question is a resounding no? We know that from what the Bible tells us, that receiving good all the time and not evil is not real life. That's fantasy. That's fantasy. You know, and I'm not trying to be spiritual here tonight, but the little statement that is popular nowadays, it's all good. right? You know, I don't know where that came from. If it came from a movie or a TV show or somebody, but somebody made it popular. It's all good. Well, the truth of the matter, folks, that's not true. It's not all good. And it never has been all good. And the Bible doesn't say that everything that happens to us is good. The Bible does say everything that happens to us will work together for His good. And that's a blessing. But it's not all good. And life teaches us, the Bible teaches us, that that's not real life. You don't have good all the time and never receive evil. All you got to do is start reading the account of people whose lives are chronicled in this book right here, and you're going to see from person to person to person to person, nobody received all good and no bad. From the father of the faithful, Abraham, to his son Isaac, to his son Jacob, to Joseph, and all the way down to the life of Moses. Not everything turned out good for Moses. He had bad days. Bad things happened to Moses. You get into Daniel, you get into David, you get into Samuel. Person after person after person after person after person after person whose lives are listed and chronicled in this book right here show us that life consists of both good and bad. Good and bad. Advances and setbacks. Now, we got things going on in our family. You know that. We appreciate your interest. We appreciate your concerns. You know, but there's been some things in my own personal life, in my own home out here, that have gone backwards in the last 2 or 3 days. And the same can be said about many of you. And the same can be said about many of my friends. The same can be said about some people that are in this church who I am close to, and I'm close to, I love everybody, but you have people that you kind of know what's going on in their life, where others you don't know as much. And people in this life, in this church, have setbacks. And people from the outside of this church have setbacks. And it just seemed like for the last, I don't know, how many days, it's just been this deluge of, but then I have to stop. And you begin to think to yourself, good grief. But then you have to stop and ask yourself, how many weeks go by where there's no bad news? Where it's good news after 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 good news. That's not life. Life is not going to stay like that for 52 weeks in a year. Not going to happen. The truth of the matter is, look at Job chapter 29. Look what Job started talking about over here in Job chapter 29. His story is no secret to you folks. You know what? We've been in these chapters many times over these years. But in Job chapter 29, he is reliving his past. And he says in verse number 1, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. I wish I could go back to when it was good." Look at what he says here. "When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my..." By the way, I like that statement. "When by his light I walked through darkness." You know, I told Ben this the other day. I've told two other people this in the last 72 hours here in this church. The nature of night, the nature of dark, makes things worse. And I think that's when Satan tries his best to really overwhelm a person. You got to learn how to fight against that. You got to learn that if bad news comes at night, if bad news comes when it's dark, you got to be careful that you don't allow your mind to magnify that problem and just grow it into this great big... That may be a big thing, but your mind and my mind can magnify that thing to the point that it's huge. Overblow it, and a lot of that, it's just the nature of darkness. That's what I told him the other night. He was pretty blue. And he's not so discouraged. I mean, the health problem is the health problem. It's not going to go away. He's just under pressure to make the right decision for his wife. That's where the pressure is. And I said, "Ben, you know, I know it's heavy, but it's night. It's dark. Things are 10 times heavier when it's dark. And if you can go to sleep, get a little rest, wake up in the morning, the day the sun comes up, now it's daylight, things look a little better. That's the nature of day. The nature of night is heavy. Look what Job said. He said, when by his light I walked through the darkness. Boy, that's a blessing, friend. When you can get the light of God in a situation and walk through the darkness. Look at verse 4. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. Look what he said in 7. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me. He was influential. And hid themselves. They respected. And the aged arose. The aged man arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongues cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. Everything I said was good. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for on and on. You know, what is he doing? He is reliving when it was good. But folks, wait, whoa, Job. Who's responsible for that good? You? You're not responsible for all that good. Who's responsible for all of these wonderful things that you're rejoicing? I tell you who's responsible for all those things. God. The hand of God was good to him over and over and over and over, far beyond what Job deserved. And the same can be said about you and me. The good hand of God has done far more for us than any of us ever deserve. So when the bad times do come, that's life. It's life. It's just a part of life. You know, I remember the story of the Israelites. They're told that they had all those feasts. And there's one feast that's called the Feast of Tabernacles. In the Feast of Tabernacles, they're supposed to build a little booth made out of tree limbs and stay under it for 8 days and remember the wilderness journeys and how God provided for them through the wilderness. Very interesting in that passage, and I can't recall the address right now. I don't know if it's in, it might be, I think it's in the book of Leviticus. And he tells them, he says, I want you to cut down the palm tree limbs. Now I'm paraphrasing. You cut down some palm tree limbs and some willow tree limbs. Isn't that interesting? You talk about two opposites. What do you associate palms with? Tropics? You certainly don't associate palms with Illinois. Okay? You see pictures in Southern California and Arizona and Florida and tropical places, you see palm trees. It's bright. It's warm. It's sunny. It's willows. What do you associate willows with? What are they called? Weeping willows. Psalm 126, the Bible says about the children of Israel that in Babylon they hang their harps on the willows. They're in sorrow. Sing us a song. They couldn't do it. Their hearts are broken. So you got palm trees and you got willow trees. You cut down these limbs from these palm trees. You cut down these limbs from these willow trees. And you take both of them, the palms and the willows, and you build a house, a little booth out of those palm limbs and those willow limbs. And you stay in there for 8 days, 7 or 8 days. And you reflect and you remember. And you know, I couldn't help but think when I read that. This is years ago. I preached a message on that years ago. I could not help but think about the fact. That's life. Life is made up of palms and willows. Nobody's life is made up of all palms. Thank God nobody's life is made up of all willows. It's palms and willows. And no doubt when they got in those little booths and they look at those palm trees, which speak of victory and joy and happiness, they reflected on all the good things that came to them from the hand of God. Their shoes, their ancestors, their shoes didn't wear out, and they were fed and they were watered and they were cared for 40 years. They reflected on all those stories, and then they saw those willow branches and their weeping willows, and they're reminded of the difficulties when then came Amalek and the problems and the snakes. All those tough times. You know what that is, folks? That's life. That's life. It's palms and willows. You know what the good thing about it is? You get to the book of Revelation, there's no willows in Revelation. You know what you will find in Revelation? When John looks ahead to that time when we're all gathered up in the heaven, you know what you find in heaven in their hands? Palms. Palm branches. Because when we get there, it's an eternal palm branch. But until we get there, it's palms and it's willows. It's good and it's bad. And God's not picking on us. And God's not mad at us. This is life. This is life. And right now, in the position I'm in, maybe it's not so that way. Maybe you're in a palm season of life. I say amen. Right now, I'm in the position I'm in personally with my family, personally with some other things, personally, and then just the church in general, with some people that are just very sick. And surgery after surgery after surgery and all this back stuff. Oh, boy. I feel for these people. It's just kind of a willow tree season. That's what it is. That's life. And you love God, and you serve God, and you try to honor God, and you serve Him, live for Him, and pretty soon, that willow branch becomes a palm. You just got to stay faithful. And that's life. I was just thinking that today. I have the message all prepared, typed up, and ready to go back there on the desk. But, there, you know, I've had thoughts before. Get up and just share something that's on your heart and on your mind. And then it's, you better stick to your notes. But tonight, the brakes were not put on. So maybe I'm up here speaking to myself tonight. Maybe this church service is for me. But I have a sneaking suspicion it may be for some of you too. Is it willow branch time right now? Hang in there. It'll be palm branch season soon. And no doubt about it. We receive both good and evil. That's life. It's been that way for 6,000 years of human history. Amen? All right, that's it. Let's stand together. We'll go home in 1 hour. You were here tonight. I hope those of you that came from a distance, Reed and Emily, I see you back there. God bless you. I hope that was worth your coming tonight. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us. I thank you, Lord, for your book. When we face things and we're complex issues and we're kind of confused, we can run to the Bible. And God, your word gives us guidance. Your word gives us a direction. It gives us answers. It is the most blessed book in all this world. And I thank you for it. And you're the God who wrote it. It is your book. Certainly, Lord, in a world that is filled right now with rage and fear and confusion and all this stuff in the Middle East, I am thankful that there is a refuge in the church, in the Word of God, in the prayer closet. I am thankful for the refuges you've built into our lives. And God, I pray that you bless the names on our prayer list of people who have been very sick for a long time. And those having surgery. And those, Lord, who are recuperating. And then, Lord, those who are not under the load of a physical issue right now, but maybe just an emotional issue. Maybe, Lord, it's a vocational issue. I pray for their well-being, and I pray that you'll encourage them. And, Lord, if it's willow branch time, help us to be faithful. We know the palm branch is coming soon. And we rejoice with thanksgiving that you are our God, that we know you and you know us, and certainly thankful, Lord, that we end up with you someday. Love you tonight. Bless the folks that came out on this evening. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies will play just a bit.